Houston flight is go.
Pilot go.
STM is go.
Safety cost is go.
FTE is go.
LRD is go.
SRO is go.
CDI is go.
Launch director NTD, our launch team is ready to proceed at this time.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Site Patriots has a message for liberals and the mainstream media.
You can't handle the truth.
So, buckle up, snowflakes, because we're about to deliver the politically direct best in conservative commentary, news, and investigative reports. We're telling the truth, and we're not going to stop. Okay, liberals, back under the bridge with the rest of your fellow trolls, and oh yeah, thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots.
They are special, special people
on RSPRadio1.com. Welcome to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot, Diane Sorey at the Patriot Factor, Tuesday night, the 5th of October. Welcome to it. Hello, Diane.
Hello, Craig, and how are you this evening?
You know, I'm doing all right. I'm doing
okay,
all right.
Good.
Had a good day with the puppy today.
Okay.
Well, you know, good day for the most part. Okay.
Right. I heard him barking at times.
Yeah, he was. You know, earlier he was here in the office, and he's bark. I can't leave him loose in the house when I'm sitting in here in the office.
No, because not yet. Not until he's older.
He gets into everything. I mean everything. Okay. Earlier today, I was out in the front room. I was having some lunch, and he was out there with me. And before I knew it, he had found a piece of tin foil and shredded it. I mean shredded it. Okay, it looked like confetti all over the floor. So,
oh my God.
Then, you know, I have to go pick that up, so he's helping with that. And then a few minutes later, he comes in with something in his mouth, and I'm like, what do you have? And he comes over. He had chewed up a Scotch tape thing. Dispenser thing.
Did it go down his throat?
Not that I know of.
Oh my God.
Okay. So then about an hour after that, he comes walking in real proud of himself, you know, and I can tell he's got something in his mouth and he's not supposed to have whatever it is. I know that. And so I go over and he's got a light bulb.
Who leaves light bulbs around? Where do you leave a light bulb?
I don't know where he found it. I don't know what he does. He'll disappear somewhere, and then pretty soon he shows up, and he's got something. And I was like, where in the hell did you find that? This
if
is one of those.
If he'd been down on that, that could have been the end of him.
It was one of those chandelier, those little kind of candelabra type ones, you know?
Sure. Sure, but the glass would have cut his throat and the filaments and all that.
I don't know where this dog comes up with this stuff.
You have to muzzle him.
I have no idea where he gets it. Well, so anyway, so he's sitting here in the office about, oh, I don't know, 25 minutes ago. And I told Susan, I said, I'm going to release the Kraken. let him out of here. She's got him out on a walk now, so she's going to wear him down.
Oh, good. Maybe he'll sleep an hour or two.
You know, he and I, we go for a couple of walks every day. And,
okay.
Yeah, he's very good at walking. He doesn't pull on the leash or anything. He's real good about that. It's just when you let him loose in the house. He terrorizes the cats. He terrorizes our other dog. All he wants to do is play. He's not being mean.
Right.
But the cats have had enough. they're done. They've had enough. You know. He also got a hold when Susan came home this afternoon, she brought a couple of those styrofoam containers full of food with her.
Oh, he got a hold of the styrofoam?
Well, she walks in. She sets the stuff down on the dining table while she goes, and I don't know what she's doing. She goes into the kitchen for something. Why she didn't just take it into the kitchen, I don't know. But she set it down, and the next thing I know, one of them's on the floor, and both dogs are eating it.
Oh, God.
So, I don't know. I don't know. It's like having a baby Tasmanian devil.
I think so.
That's the best way I can put it.
And he's going to teach the older dog, Bella, all the stuff she forgot she did as a puppy.
Yeah, I know.
He's going to remind her.
Well, you know, Bella keeps looking at the little puppy. His name's Barkley, by the way. She keeps looking at Barkley like, oh, my Lord. will you calm down?
Yeah.
Anyway, it's been a full day of puppy world. Every day is puppy world right now. But all of that said, we've got a lot of stuff we need to get to tonight because there's a lot of goofy crap going on in the world. And we've got some quick hitters, but before we get to that, let me just tell people what we've got coming up as main segments in the show tonight. Diane, you're covering two causes, two men, good versus truly evil.
Yes.
Now, I'm going to take a wild shot in the dark here and say this is about two men and two causes.
Well, the causes are actually similar. It's how each man has responded to it.
Okay. All right. I've got Biden, Obama's puppet, and useful idiot.
It says it all right there.
Okay. But it's not a snark piece. All right. No. People probably thought this was going to be a snark piece. It's not. I am going to prove that this is Obama's third term. By what's happening in our country right now, I can go back a little ways in history, and I can prove this is Obama's doing.
You can prove what we've been saying since day one.
Yes. But, I mean, I'm using – well, you'll see. Yeah, folks, you just stay tuned. You'll find out.
I already know.
You know. Our listeners don't.
True. Okay.
Unless they've read the piece, which they may have, but that's okay. Let's start with quick hitters tonight. We start with Joe Manchin. Now, Joe Manchin, a few weeks ago, took a hard line on this $3.5 trillion bill, and during the summer, he told Schumer, I won't sign on for anything over $1.5 trillion, period.
Right.
And he planted his flag on $1.5 trillion. What happened today?
Well, today he actually changed his mind. It does have a little caveat, though. What he said now, well, let's start by saying on July 28th of this year, he held strong to the 1.5 and held strong to it until today. It appears he's been in conferences with Chucky. And now he's raised his thing to between $1.9 trillion to $2.2 trillion. So he's, you know, anywhere between 0.4 and 0.7 million above what he originally said. However, there is one, I should say two things that he will not give in on. He's demanding that the reconciliation bill include the Hyde Amendment, which actually bars the use of federal funds for abortion. And he said if they don't put that in, the package will be dead on arrival in the Senate. However, Manchin has said things like this before. He has stood strong before and at the last minute caved.
So the question is, do we believe him? Now, and I ask this almost rhetorically, because when he planted his flag at $1.5 trillion, you and I questioned, we said, well, we hope he sticks with it this time, because in the past, you know, he'll say one thing and then do something completely different.
Exactly.
So do we believe him on this? Do we believe him on the Hyde Amendment?
He is a Catholic. He is more on the center as far as abortion and all that. The Hyde Amendment might just be the thing that keeps him on our side. Would I guarantee it? No.
See, that's where I'm at. That's where I'm at. I mean, he was so firm up until today on $1.5 trillion.
Right.
Well, now it's $1.9 to $2.2 trillion. But there's the Hyde Amendment. Well, I don't know. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if we can trust him.
I don't know. He's always been against the federal funding for abortion. He hasn't wavered on that to date. But, you know, he was adamant about the 1.5. Now he's over a half a billion more he's willing to put in.
No, half a trillion.
Half a trillion, I'm sorry. I don't know what to make of him.
Okay, so let me ask you the next obvious question then. Will the Democrats keep the Hyde Amendment active?
Oh, they'll insist on the Hyde Amendment. Are you kidding? That's one of the cruxes of Biden's plan. You do away with federal funding for abortion and everything else will collapse in on it.
So you don't
remember,
think
these are the baby these are the baby killers.
Well, I know that's why I
have no problem with late term abortion and abortion after birth.
I know that's why I'm asking the question, because the Hyde Amendment prevents that.
Exactly.
Okay. And so will they keep the Hyde Amendment?
Manchin will hold strong.
Well, but I let's say he does. Okay, let's say he does. Will the Democrats keep the Hyde Amendment in place just to get more dollars?
Oh, of course they will. But like he said, if he won't go along with this package, remember, it's part of the package,
right,
it's dead. But will the Hyde Amendment be enough to keep him in line? I'm not sure. I'm really not sure. I'd like to believe that he'll stand strong on it and say, look, I'm not giving in on this. This is murder and you know, et cetera, et cetera. Would we love to see that happen? Absolutely, we'd love to see that happen. But I just don't know anymore. We thought he was holding strong so many times, and he always caved.
I know it. I know it. Well, it's a wait-and-see game.
But then there's the one from Arizona, too, Sema.
Right, Sinema, but she seems to be kind of going along with Joe Manchin. So if he's up to, let's say, $2.2 trillion, I'll bet she is too.
But that's still a long distance from the one that they want, which is $3.5 trillion.
Right.
It's too big of a gap for the Democrats. They won't come down to 2.5, but the thing is, will these two up the 2.5.
Yeah, we don't know.
It's palatable to the Democrats. I'm hoping the Hyde Amendment is the thing that stops them.
I hope so, but I could see them, you know, going ahead and taking the Hyde Amendment deal that Manchin is offering just to get, you know, some money.
No, that I cannot see them taking that out of the bill. The one of their main platforms is the right to abortion, and that I cannot see them removing.
Well, we'll see. It's a wait and see game.
We'll see. Right.
In New York State, Northwell Health. Now, most people outside of New York have never heard of Northwell Health, okay? But that is the largest healthcare provider in the state of New York. They are now able to boast. They are able to boast, and they are boasting, that their employees are now 100% vaccinated. But how did they do it? That's the question.
Well, they fired 1,400 nurses and workers, etc., to get to that 100%. They fired the ones that said, we will not take the jab.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but those 1,400 that got fired are, in fact, healthcare professionals.
Exactly.
Okay, so if they are saying, absolutely not, I'm not going to take the jab, what do they know that is being hidden from everybody else?
It's not hidden. People like us have been telling the truth about this vaccine all along, especially me. I've written from it about it from a medical end. And it's not safe. In fact, today, a paper out of Great Britain said more people are getting COVID who are fully vaccinated in their country than are not. I mean, more people who are fully vaccinated are getting COVID than people who are not vaccinated.
Right.
And the reason for that is because it messes with the T cells. It's not doing what it's supposed to do. It's not really a vaccine because, like I said in a previous article, a vaccine prevents you not only from getting the disease, but getting infected by the disease. These vaccines don't do that, folks.
Now,
they're not true vaccines. They're not sterilized vaccines.
I call it a serum.
I call it a sham.
Well, I mean, it could be snake oil, but it's still a serum. You know? I mean, here's the thing. All right? In the midst of a pandemic, mm-hmm. Is it smart to fire 1,400 healthcare workers in one fell swoop? I mean, these are the people that worked before the vaccine was available and were regarded as national heroes.
Exactly. No, it's not right at all. Just like it's not right what New York has done to the to the teachers and the police, firing those that won't get the jab. I mean, since when does the government have the right to tell consenting adults, meaning adults of age, what they can and cannot put into their bodies?
I know we
need herd immunity. We need natural immunities. That's the way to end this.
I know I'm cherry picking when it comes to this, but I'm really not boo-hooing too much over teachers getting fired.
Not all teachers, follow the nonsense, the liberal nonsense. There's many teachers that will not follow it.
I know. That's why I said I'm cherry picking. I'm not boo-hooing too much,
right.
This is crazy. You're in a pandemic. You're pissing and moaning because your hospitals are overloaded, okay, and you're short-staffed to begin with. So what do? You're the largest private healthcare provider in the entire state of New York, and you fire 1,400 people just so you can say all of our employees are fully vaccinated. That's nuts.
That's trying to run a PR campaign at the expense of people's health. One man was so enraged by this. His name is Kevin Surdy. He announced, because of this firing, that he said, and I quote him, "This is going to be a disaster if it keeps up. I'm running for Congress to put an end to this kind of insanity." Kudos to him.
Well, I hope he does.
Mm-hmm.
I hope he does. We'll see how that situation works out in New York, because I think they're going to regret this pretty quickly.
I think so.
Some good news in the quick hitters, mm-hmm. although it's still kind of a stupid thing to begin with. Lieutenant Colonel Scheller, the Marine who spoke out from Afghanistan on social media, is out of the brig.
Yes, he is. And he was originally jailed at Camp Lejeune last Monday after he refused to follow an order by military authorities to stop posting on social media. And all he did was ask for accountability.
That's it.
this whole thing is ridiculous. Since when can the military order someone who was not in uniform at the time they're doing this?
You know, the military can do that.
Put an opinion.
The military can do that. Okay, the military is you know, they have their rules, right? But in this extraordinary circumstance, all the lieutenant colonel wanted was some accountability. He wanted to know why things happened the way they happened in Afghanistan, because they never should have happened that way, and he knew it.
Yeah,
you know.
His parents his parents even said that they believe he asked for an apology for the mistakes that were made.
And he did.
Kudos to him for that.
He did.
Although it would be, you know, a useless apology, it really was overdue.
Well, I mean, here's a guy spent 19 years as a U.S. Marine, lieutenant colonel, in country, in Afghanistan. He sees this disaster in progress, and he's asking for accountability from the people who are leading that debacle, and he's not getting any answers, so he goes to social media and posts his questions there because nobody wanted to talk to him. None of the brass wanted to talk to him. Then, of course, he gets in trouble, and they say, you can't do that anymore. You got to shut up. And he said, really? Hold my beer.
Well, he made a cardinal mistake. He actually thought some of the people that said they would back him up turned out not to back him up.
Right.
They stabbed him in the back because they were afraid of their own butts. You know, if these people who said they were going to stand by him, fellow military members, had stood by him, the situation would be totally different.
100%.
It would be a domino effect. Probably more and more and more would jump on board.
You know, well, that's what the Marines and the military didn't want. You know, they didn't, because they don't want to be accountable for what they did. They don't want to be accountable for those 13 service members' lives. They don't want to be accountable for literally thousands of Afghan lives. They don't want to be accountable for the thousands that are stuck behind enemy lines, including hundreds of American citizens. They don't want to be accountable for any of that.
No, for nothing at all. They just want to shame America in the eyes of the world, and that's what they've done, and they don't care.
I'll tell you this. I don't read books. Okay?
We know.
I just don't. I had my fill of it in college and I'm done. However, when Lieutenant Colonel Scheller gets his book written, I will read it.
Okay.
Because I guarantee you there's going to be a book.
Well, I read all the time, and I will definitely read it.
You know, it's going to be interesting to see how this shakes out. He's out of the brig. Okay, we know that. But you know, the military, the Pentagon, they still want to barbecue his behind. So,
well, they're going to use him as an example.
Yeah, and I'll tell you something. I don't think he cares. I think the more they press this, the more they try to do to this guy. It's like throwing gas on a fire.
Yes.
You know? And he knows it, and if they're smart, they're going to figure it out.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely. Finally, in the quick hitters, Frances Haugen, I think I'm pronouncing that right, Haugen, she is the Facebook whistleblower. She was testifying in a Senate committee today. I watched some of it. I didn't get to see all of it, but I watched some of it. She leveled a load of accusations against Facebook and literally told the senators in that subcommittee hearing today that Facebook is a danger to national security, not only for the way they ignore safety precautions when it comes to young kids, but also because they are stifling free speech.
Yeah, this, you know, we all were part and parcel of that takedown of Facebook yesterday. And, you know, where they went blank in, I believe, what was it, Instagram and WhatsApp and something else, you know, that are satellites of Facebook. They also went down. She said something very interesting. The reason they didn't correct these things when they knew about them, like the thing involving the children, was it to correct it would cost too much and would cut into their profits.
Well, boo-hoo.
Yeah.
You know, look, here's... I don't want to start a conspiracy theory, but this stuff is floating around out there, so I'm just going to say it because it's Facebook. How the hell do we know what they were doing? Okay. Mm-hmm. They go down for 5 hours yesterday. You suppose it takes about roughly 5 hours to delete 10 years worth of everybody's information that they were collecting for the CIA?
I think that information could be gotten rid of with the touch of one button.
I don't know. I mean, you know, you think about it. This whistleblower is blowing whistles, and all of a sudden Facebook crashes. I mean, supposedly crashes. I don't know. I don't know what to think. It's Facebook. It's Zuckerberg. Who the hell knows?
I mean, I think they were trying to, you know, cover things, but I think as the logistics of clearing, it could be done with one button. Can you say bleach bit?
Yeah, but I don't know. I mean, they got all this stuff, and who knows where they've got it and how many different servers it's on. And I mean, I don't know. But look, here's the bottom line on this thing, and I am not, well, let's just say I am giddy. I am a little bit giddy about this. Zuckerberg apparently lost $6 billion yesterday.
Yeah, the stock went down quite a bit. It recovered, you know, some today once everything was back online. But, you know, I have no sympathy for Zuckerberg. If he lost it all, I wouldn't care because Facebook was not even his idea. He stole it from one of his college roommates. So I could care less what happens to him.
Unfortunately, a friend of mine down in Texas, his name's Keith. I won't burden you with his last name, but Keith, unfortunately, yesterday, because Facebook was down, had to go door to door in his neighborhood to show people what he was eating for dinner.
Oh, yes, that was on Facebook today.
He put
had
that
to
up.
Run outside and show people what we ate for lunch because we couldn't post it.
So, you know, it was like a little mini vacation for a lot of people yesterday.
Well, Facebook is actually, as far as I'm concerned, two different entities. There's the Facebook that do post food pictures and their kids' pictures. Why anyone would be stupid enough to put their children's pictures where there's perverts all over the place online is beyond me to begin with. But there's the social aspect of Facebook, which I don't take part in at all. Then there's the political aspect of Facebook, which, of course, I take part in. And it's really two separate entities. I don't think they care about the social aspect of it. I think they care about the political aspect of it because Facebook is the antithesis of the conservative movement.
It is, 100%. So... yeah, I don't expect much to come out of this hearing that was held today. No. I think the real breaking news in any of this is what you just said. Apparently, and who saw this coming, apparently there are perverts on the internet. Who knew?
Yeah, surprise, surprise. Child molesters. I guess, you know, nobody knew that before, even though we've seen videos of it on Facebook. They had no problems posting those.
Who knew the Catholic Church had a Facebook page?
Yeah, who knew, right?
Did I say that out loud?
Yes, you did, but it wasn't just the Catholic Church.
No, but, you know, they catch all the flack. Look, folks, we've made it to the bottom of this hour. That means we have to take a short break, get a couple of station IDs in. About 30 minutes from now, I'm going to be talking about Biden, Obama's puppet, and useful idiot. However, when we come back from this break, Diane has it with two causes, two men, good versus truly evil. Stay with us. There's lots more to come on Right Side Patriots after this.
You're listening to Right Side Patriots Radio, the best in conservative commentary, news, and talk, where we do away with the politically correct nonsense and give you the politically direct truth. This is the home of Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern with Craig Andreessen and Diane Sorey. We're working to make this country great again from the right and leaving puddles of melted snowflakes on the left. Thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots, your best bet on the internet.
You're listening to RSPRadio1.com.
Hi guys, Diane Sorey from The Patriot Factor on thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, where I found a home base 7 years ago after becoming one of Facebook's longtime Facebook felons, or so I've been told by the Facebook gods. On my blog, you will find not only my articles, but our Right Side Patriots investigative reports, as well as stories and links to and from well-known writers and bloggers, plus what I call almost daily memes, my snarky take on news of the day. And for more great takes on the issues of the day, check out the National Patriot at thenationalpatriot.com, where you can read Craig's insight into all the current news happenings. And join us both on Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. EST at RSPRadio1.com.
Welcome back to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot and Diane Sorey at the Patriot Factor. Diane said I'm going to get in trouble for my Catholic Church comment. If you're upset by that, if you're offended by that, please send your nasty grams to Diane's email, which is idontreallygiveacrap@gmail.com. All right. We got a lot to talk about tonight. Diane, you put together a great op-ed, and we'll get to where people can find it in a few minutes, but why don't you let us in on what this is all about? Two causes, two men, good versus truly evil.
Okay, let's start by saying our beloved America is now in trouble, deep trouble, and it started with an election stolen. I cannot say it any plainer or more truthful than that. And sadly, we now see in power an administration so hell-bent on seeing our Constitution not only being replaced by a globalist Marxist agenda, an agenda where we the people march in lockstep at the bottom rung of the socioeconomic ladder, but an agenda based solely upon lies and deceit, where right is wrong and wrong is something to strive for. Something to strive for via words spewed from the mouths of overt liars. Liars who in the end will hopefully become the victim of their own lies. But it seems that happens, if it happens at all, only after innocent people have been hurt by said lies. And when you couple overt liars with those who either twist or simply deny a given truth by their trying to pass off a made-up version of what should be the truth, it becomes obvious that they're doing so solely to push forward their own personal and or political agenda, with trouble then looming larger, sooner rather than latter. And we can see both lies spewed and the twisting of truth being used to help push forward the Democrats' far-left political agenda by examining something that not too long ago happened here in my home state of Florida, the state with the best governor in the nation, Governor Ron DeSantis. Here is a man willing to go head-to-head with the powers that be, and he does so with righteous indignation and heartfelt noble intentions, both for the betterment of we Floridians and for the nation as well. But one case in point, as Biden continues to chastise our great Florida governor over his COVID-19 treatment responses, along with his not mandating mask wearing for school-aged children, as DeSantis knows well that a young child wearing or not wearing a mask should be a parent's decision alone, our governor had recently announced that with Florida having opened 25 monoclonal antibody treatment sites by September 13th of this year, that over 100,000 Floridians have received treatments. COVID hospital admissions have fallen by over 60%. COVID hospital census has declined for, as I was writing this, 28 plus consecutive days, and that ER visits for COVID have declined by over 70% throughout the state. A successful program indeed, even with the monoclonal antibody treatment not being apropos for all COVID cases. For said treatment made by the drug company Regeneron, while mimicking the body's natural immune defenses, can only be used to treat those 12 years of age or older who present with mild to moderate COVID-19 symptoms and do so whether they have been vaccinated or not. In fact, after President Trump successfully received such treatment last fall, when he came down with China's nasty little gift to the world, the FDA issued an, quote, emergency use authorization for this antibody cocktail infusion only treatment after most patients reported that they felt better within a mere day or two after receiving said treatment, as well as the FDA realizing that many of those who were actually treated at the time they received a positive COVID diagnosis never developed nor exhibited the outward symptoms of COVID-19, thus reducing their body's virus load, making them less likely to shed the virus and pass it along to others. Truly, if not a viable drug therapy per se, as is the parasitic drug ivermectin, monoclonal antibody treatment, Craig, has proven to help in not only reducing the severity of the virus, but in reducing mortality and spread as well.
Well, one of the big problems there is ivermectin, let's say, just as an example, costs about 6 cents a pill.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, nobody's getting rich, right?
Now, nobody.
I'm guessing, I'm just going to take a wild shot in the dark here. I'm guessing that while Ron DeSantis is not only making waves, but showing the great effects of these, you know, different treatments, Joe Biden has a very different take on the entire topic.
Yes. Now, the Democrats being who and what they are, haters of anyone and anything on the right that might help to not only rein in the still ongoing COVID pandemic, but its accompanying media controlling fear-mongering rhetoric as well. We saw Joe Biden cutting Florida's monoclonal antibody treatments by more than 50%, no matter its success rate or the fact that both the FDA and our governor saw this treatment as also being effective when used as a prophylactic for those most susceptible to severe COVID illness, as in folks with weakened immune systems, regardless of their actually testing or not testing positive for the virus. And Governor DeSantis is now rightfully angered by not only Biden's above-stated slashing in half our country's supply of the monoclonal antibody drug treatment, but by the recent announcement from the Department of Health and Human Services that their agency would be taking over the distribution of all antibody therapies instead of the state and instead of medical facilities or doctors ordering said treatments directly based upon the number of new cases and hospitalizations as they had been doing all along. In fact, by Biden's taking a medical treatment that was working well for those in Florida and elsewhere where it was being used, and turning it not only into an overtly political venue, but into a dollar and cents federal government controlled business venture, and a highly profitable one at that, he has, in my opinion, overstepped the boundaries of states' rights. And proof of this came courtesy of Biden's spokesmouth, Jen Psaki's recently spewed words that monoclonal antibodies do cost much more than vaccines, and that the Biden administration's distribution plan was aimed at achieving equity among the states. Now, how I detest that racially implied, deliberately divisive word equity, for it implies that Florida and our governor was taking treatment away, taking monies away from minorities in other states, something which is an out-and-out lie, something that now sees the Biden administration rationing, for political reasons alone, this truly life-saving treatment. And you know as well as I that said rationing will favor those ill in blue states getting the much heralded monoclonal antibody treatment first, forcing those in red states to go back to the back of the line. So now for more truth. What Biden is doing does not bode well in regards to the health, safety, and welfare of Floridians suffering with COVID-19, for it is simply yet another means of political payback being levied against Governor DeSantis for doing what he, Biden, feels is promoting monoclonal antibody treatment more so than he is encouraging Floridians to get what Biden deems are preventative vaccines. Never mind the fact that breakthrough cases and deaths are on the rise in those already fully vaccinated. And also not to be forgotten is that Governor DeSantis has joined other red state governors in saying that he will not force Biden's unconstitutional vaccine mandates nor his ridiculous vaccine passports on folks living here in the Sunshine State. And to that, Craig, I say kudos and thank you, Governor DeSantis, a truly good and honorable man, for not just standing strong, and know we Floridians stand with you, but also for fighting back against an administration who cares more about garnering illegal votes and using sick folks as a direct government link to a profitable cash cow endeavor than it does about the overall health, safety, and welfare of we, the American people.
Well, it's not just we in the public that are being subjected to this. Really, what it is a power grab by the federal government. See, they don't want the states to make any kind of determination at all. You, as an American citizen, you folks out there must rely on the federal government for everything. But it's not just we, the people, the citizens, the civilians of the United States that are falling prey to this power grab. The military is also involved in this. And again, this is the government, isn't it, Diane, that's forcing this down the military's throat.
Absolutely. And like, you know, Craig said, another case in point regarding America in deep trouble comes via Tennessee Representative and physician and decorated combat veteran Mark Green, who recently proposed an amendment to Section 716 of the 2022 National Defense Authorization Act that would have prevented the military from discharging any service member who refuses the jab with any distinction other than an honorable discharge. But as expected, the Biden administration has made it clear to all that not only do they oppose said amendment, which is anything but unexpected, but that in doing so, they are alluding via unspoken words that any service member not getting jabbed is disobeying direct orders. And Biden and crew also voiced their opposition to proposed Section 720 of the NDAA, which would establish procedures by which service members may be exempt from receiving the mandated COVID-19 vaccine, including for, quote, administrative medical or religious reasons, or on the basis of possessing an antibody test result demonstrating previous COVID-19 infection, end quote. And what is their reason given for opposing these exemptions? Because the White House believes that any and all exemptions create, quote, a new and overly broad exemption from the vaccination requirement for previous infection that would undermine the effectiveness of the requirement, end quote. Just more veiled doublespeak, if you ask me, that adds to the statement issued less than 2 short weeks ago by the Office of Management and Budget, which stated that the Biden administration not only, quote, strongly opposes this amendment, but that if said amendment were somehow to be implemented, it would, quote, detract from readiness and limit a commander's options of enforcing good order and discipline when a service member fails to obey a lawful order to receive a vaccination, end quote. But pray tell, how does putting into one's body a vaccine that technically is still undergoing clinical trials affect good order and discipline? Simply, it does not. So the translation to all this is that even America's military, which is the most critical linchpin in regards to our national defense, is now being forced to become guinea pigs, courtesy of the Pentagon, who describes Biden's vaccine mandate as a, quote, lawful order that must be obeyed. Obeyed no matter that. The powers that be know well that the jab is not now and will never be the answer to ending the pandemic. What would breakthrough cases amongst the already vaccinated being on the rise nationwide, even if the media remains mum to that fact? But even with all I've just stated, what makes this entire scenario even more grievous is the fact that House Democrats overwhelmingly supported this amendment when it was first proposed. Craig, in fact, the House's own version of the NDAA provision would actually limit military commanders' options for disciplining those who fail to comply with Biden's vaccine mandate.
You know, what I kind of see in that is a bunch of lip service. I don't see any real, you know, heartfelt concern from the Democrats regarding the NDAA. Mm-hmm. What's the bottom line on that amendment? I mean, is it just lip service from people that are hoping to get reelected in 2022? And what happens if it does pass?
Well, simply, if this amendment were somehow to be passed, Joe Biden would simply veto it, thus slapping our military in the face yet again. I guess his Afghanistan withdrawal fiasco, orchestrated by Obama and those still loyal to him, of course, didn't see enough damage being inflicted upon our military's morale. Our military, who now, due to circumstances beyond their control, have joined we the people in not having a choice as to what we allow to be put into or not put into our own bodies. Says a lot about the trouble our country is now in, for with our military also being forced to take orders from the known enemy within, I wonder just how long it will be before our outside enemies make inroads into our country. Not long, I guess, especially when the White House response to those military members still refusing the jab is somewhat similar to those of we civilians who are still and intended to remain unvaccinated, as in government medical services will be available to ensure us that no fear of the jab is warranted because our government is here to protect us all. To brainwash us into total compliance is more like it. Talk about a con game being perpetrated on our military by a man, by their very own commander-in-chief, who, I believe, truly is evil. Case closed.
You know, you call it brainwashing, and to me it's more like blackmail.
It's a little bit of
you know. I mean, yeah, I suppose it probably is, but, you know, you either do what we tell you, or, you know, you're going to get fired from your job, like nurses and doctors and healthcare professionals in the state of New York. Either do what you're told, or we're going to drum you out of the military with a dishonorable discharge. I mean, good Lord.
Well, the brainwashing involves the line that I said, our government medical services will be able to ensure us that no fear of the jab is warranted because our government is here to protect us.
Yeah, I'm from the government, and I'm here to help.
Our government is trying to brainwash us into compliance.
Yeah, absolutely. And
that's
you know
what this is about.
And by doing this in schools, which you know you touched upon it earlier in the piece, but by doing this in schools, what they're doing is indoctrinating kids to believe that the government is always right. You do what the government says.
Right.
You know,
This is how the Nazis got into power, folks.
Yeah.
And we're seeing it happening here in our own country. The only difference is they're not, you know, raising their arms and saying Heil Biden or Heil Obama, we should say.
Well, not yet, anyway.
I mean, think of these indoctrinators, you know, with the needles in their hands as the brown shirts, actually. We're doing this for your own good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure you are. Yeah, I'm from the government, and I'm here to help.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's what this is. I mean, you should go running into the night when you hear something like that.
Well, I want to give you a little scenario that happened today. Shows just how indoctrinated some of these weak-minded liberals are. We were doing our morning walk, my husband and I, and we go around and coming out of her house, someone we know who's a liberal, no name, of course, given. She was going outside to pick up her mail. We're talking, walking out of her house, down her driveway to her mailbox. She was wearing a mask and gloves.
Oh, for God's sakes.
Yeah. How many times have you seen people driving alone in their car wearing a mask?
I have seen it. I actually have seen it. And I look at those people like, you shouldn't be behind the wheel. You're not smart enough to drive a car.
This is indoctrination, folks. This is indoctrination. We have become a nation, except for the ones standing strong, like all of us, we've become a nation of sheep. The government says cover your face. These people do it. They're alone in their own car. They're walking from their own house to their own mailbox. Fully masked, gloved. I mean, this is sick, folks. This is really sick.
These are the same people that if the government told them to jump off the Golden Gate Bridge, they'd line up to do it.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, it's gotten that crazy. Look, the op-ed, folks, the title on this op-ed from Diane is Two Causes, Two Men, Good Versus Truly Evil. And you can find this in two different places. You can either go to Diane's blog, thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, or you can go to rspradio1.com. You're going to find it in both places.
Also in this article, guys, and it's really fun to watch, I put in the video of DeSantis hammering Biden. I mean, if Biden was actually in front of DeSantis when he did this, he probably would have soaked through the Depends.
I guarantee it. Look, I said it before. Ron DeSantis is not the governor you want to piss off.
No.
I mean, he's just not. And,
I mean, we're talking ex-military here, guys.
We're talking Navy SEAL.
If Biden thinks he's going to scare Ron DeSantis, it ain't happening.
Yeah, Ron DeSantis was a Navy SEAL before he became a member of the JAG.
Yeah.
Okay. You don't want to piss off a Navy SEAL. The Marines won't even piss off Navy SEALs. They know better.
Yeah, well, you want a little side note here, and it's kind of sad. Shows you how bad these liberals are. On Monday, Governor DeSantis announced that his wife is now battling breast cancer. They have three very young children, and she has breast cancer.
Yeah.
And he asked, you know, we Floridians to pray for him and his family. And he also said that if anyone can beat it, his wife can. She's a strong woman. She's a good woman. Immediately, the piece of crap Democrats were on the threads saying they deserve this, she should die, this and that, and all sorts of nasty things. This shows you what this party is.
No, Diane, you're completely wrong. It's the liberals in this country that hold the moral high ground.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
everybody
the baby
knows
killers,
that.
Wishing people yeah. dead. Yeah, they're just wonderful people, aren't they?
They hold the moral high ground, I'm telling you. They'll be the first to tell you. I'm just telling you what they tell everybody. We have the moral high ground.
Hey, they got 57 genders to choose from.
It's got to be confusing.
Yeah.
How do you choose?
And men can get pregnant and give birth. What more do you want?
What more do you want out of life? Yeah, as a matter of fact,
seriously, guys, if you are what they call prayer warriors, say a little prayer for Governor DeSantis and his family, because battling cancer, even when you come out on the victory side, it's a hard battle.
It is. It's a tough deal, no matter what. And yes. it's obviously it's toughest on the person that's got it. It's right. tough on the families too. So don't kid yourselves.
Yes.
You know. In fact, next Tuesday, I am doing a piece on the liberal notion that men can get pregnant.
Oh, dear God.
I am. Yeah. Now, I will say there is a little bit of smoke.
Like the guy that the woman that became a man but kept her uterus.
I'm not going to get into it here. I'll save it for next week. Okay? There is some snark in it, by the way. It's not a full-on snark piece.
No, okay. But it's a good piece.
But you're gonna learn some stuff next week.
stuff you might not want to know.
I'm gonna edumacate some folks.
Yes, you are.
Once again, you can get Diane's op-ed at thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com or rspradio1.com. Either place, you can get the link. Then share the link. Okay, I guarantee you DeSantis is going to rip this thing up. He is going to go after Biden six ways from Sunday on these different treatment plans that the federal government is now hoarding.
Yes. And distributing as they see fit.
Right. I don't think the Biden group is going to stand much of a chance in court.
No, I don't think so. Well, it depends which court they end up in.
Well, yeah, but I mean,
if it's the Ninth Circus Court of Appeals,
well, could be. But you know, just to remind people, Ron DeSantis was not only a Navy SEAL; he was also a member of the JAG, the Judge Advocate General.
Right.
So not only was he a Navy SEAL, he's a lawyer. He can kill you with a brief. Okay.
and he's a hell of a nice guy.
I'm just saying, it's not the governor to get pissed, you know.
No.
Folks, grab the link to Diane's op-ed and please get it shared everywhere you can. We've made it to the top of the hour here. We're going to take another quick break, a couple more of those station IDs. When we come back, the last segment of the night, I'm going to be talking about Biden, Obama's puppet, and useful idiot. I am going to prove to you folks that this is Obama's third term.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Stay with us, more Right Side Patriots, after this.
Hi, guys. Diane Sori from The Patriot Factor on thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, where I found a home base 7 years ago after becoming one of Facebook's longtime Facebook felons, or so I've been told by the Facebook gods. On my blog, you will find not only my articles, but our Right Side Patriots investigative reports, as well as stories and links to and from well-known writers and bloggers, plus what I call almost daily memes, my snarky take on news of the day. And for more great takes on the issues of the day, check out the National Patriot at thenationalpatriot.com, where you can read Craig's insight into all the current news happenings. And join us both on Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. EST at rspradio1.com.
You're listening to Right Side Patriots Radio, the best in conservative commentary, news, and talk, where we do away with the politically correct nonsense and give you the politically direct truth. This is the home of Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern with Craig Andreessen and Diane Sori. We're working to make this country great again from the right and leaving puddles of melted snowflakes on the left. Thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots, your best bet on the internet.
You're listening to RSPRadio1.com.
Welcome back to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot, Diane Sori at the Patriot Factor. And if you miss any part of tonight's show, become one of the pod people. It's real simple. You just go to rspradio1.com tomorrow morning, click the podcast button, and there is tonight's show.
Yeah, can I, before you start, this will take 30 seconds.
All right.
It's now official. Vermont, which is the state with the highest vaccination rate in the entire United States, is experiencing more COVID cases, hospitalizations, and deaths than it did even when the pandemic was at its highest last winter.
Well, that here's
fully vaccinated people, folks.
Here's my shocked face.
There it is. And I can see it even though it's radio.
I know. Yeah. I don't know whether to congratulate Virginia or not. Or Vermont, I mean.
Vermont.
I don't know. Do you congratulate them on being number one? I mean, what do you do?
Fully vaccinated in the highest rate? Hey, that's something, hey, you know.
That's something to aspire to.
Oh, God, this is sick. Yes.
It just is what it is. But keep getting those vaccinations, folks. Oh, man. All right. So, look, Diane, you and I have been talking really since the night of the election. This is going to be Obama's third term, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, we keep talking about it. We keep giving, you know, examples of it. You've done it in some of your op-eds. I've done it in a bunch of my commentaries. Well, now I'm going to lay out the case. And I've gotten some comments once Facebook came back up. I got a bunch of comments today. People saying, man, you really put this together. And I'm like, well, thanks. This is all about Biden, Obama's puppet, and useful idiot. And while what I'm about to relate might be a little difficult to follow, all I ask is that you hear me through to the end. If you do, then what's happening in our country right now will make a good deal more sense, and that the big picture will become much clearer. Let's go all the way back to May 8, 1986. Okay? On that date, at the Harris Auditorium on the campus of the City College of New York, a forum was held. The forum's panel consisted of Joyce Weinstein, legislative coordinator for the New York City Office of Management and Budget, somebody we don't know who exactly, from Charlie Rangel's staff, and one other person who I'm going to name in just a moment. The billing for the forum was a community forum on federal budget cuts 85-86. Now that's important, given who our nation's president was at the time. It was President Reagan, and Reagan was proposing a reduction in government spending. Those on the forum's panel were against those budget cuts and against Reagan's proposed reductions in government spending. The forum, a community forum on federal budget cuts 85-86, was co-sponsored by the group City College of New York Branch of the New York Public Interest Research Group. Okay, it was also co-sponsored by CCNY Student Government. And you're about to see why the leader of that branch of the NYPIRG and the third person on the panel are so important to the state of crisis and chaos that our country finds itself in today. The third member of the forum's panel was Francis Fox Piven. And the leader of that student group that co-sponsored the forum was none other than Barack Hussein Obama. In 1986, Frances Fox Piven and her husband, Richard Cloward, penned the Cloward-Piven strategy, and as both were confirmed socialists and or Marxists, and as both were college professors, it really should come as no surprise that Obama would have been well aware of their political positions and their strategy, and he would have been quite enamored with both. Diane, in his first book, Dreams from My Father, Obama wrote of his college years, and I quote, "To avoid being mistaken for a sellout, I chose my friends carefully. The more political active black students, the foreign students, the Chicanos, the Marxist professors, and structural feminists," unquote.
Well, what's really extremely important about all this is this formed who Obama became. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying became as president. I mean became not only as president, but also what his grand scheme was.
Yeah, it really did.
Laid it out. Yes.
It sounds to me like Cloward and Piven were right up Obama's alley. And as the head of a student organization in May of 1986, having Piven as a panelist at a socialist Marxist forum that advocated for more massive government spending and an expansion of the welfare state seems as though it could well have been the spark necessary for his grand desire to fundamentally transform America. To say that Saul Alinsky in his book Rules for Radicals was an inspiration to Cloward and Piven would be a gross understatement, but Alinsky's rules were a blueprint for how to win individual battles in the quest for socialism and Marxism. Excuse me. Cloward and Piven, they drew upon Alinsky's rules to create a strategy on how to win the war. Alinsky's rules were as follows. Power is not only what you have, but what the enemy thinks you have. Never go outside the expertise of your people. Whenever possible, go outside the expertise of the enemy. Make the enemy live up to their own book of rules. Ridicule is a man's most potent weapon. There is no defense. It is almost impossible to counterattack ridicule. Also, it infuriates the opposition, who then react to your advantage. A good tactic is one your people enjoy. A tactic that drags on too long becomes a drag. Keep the pressure on. The threat is usually more terrifying than the thing itself. The major premise for tactics is the development of operations that will maintain a constant pressure upon the opposition. If you push a negative hard and deep enough, it will break through into its counterside. This is based on the principle that every positive has its negative. The price of a successful attack is a constructive alternative. And finally, pick the target, freeze it, personalize it, and polarize it. Now, during his 8 years in the Oval Office, Obama employed many of Saul Alinsky's rules, but he was under the proverbial microscope and unable to make drastic moves as quickly as he wanted. He also discovered that neither fundamental transformation nor social reengineering was going to come cheap. It needed a bankroll. Obama could smooth talk ideas, idiots and people into occupying Wall Street, for instance, but somebody had to pay for it. Obama, Diane, could verbally and morally support Black Lives Matter, but somebody would have to pay for that too, pay for the infrastructure to move those people around the country, and pay for the things necessary to further divide our country.
Right. So basically what Obama had to do was scour the bottom of the barrel, the worst of the worst. But that person at the bottom of the barrel had to be extremely rich. And that man came in the guise of
George Soros.
Yes.
Yep. He went to the bank. Obama went to the bank of George Soros to secure the funding he needed, but time was not his friend. He only had 2 terms in office, and the fundamental transformation of America would require more time than the term limits allowed. Hillary was to have been Obama's 3rd term, the time necessary to finish the job, but President Trump got in the way. Obama's answer to Trump was to ratchet up the pressure, basically Alinsky's rule number 8. More BLM, introduce and grow Antifa, more radical division, false allegations against Trump, impeachment and its sequel, riots, looting, arson, violence in the streets. And let's not forget the role played by shills like the Squad in driving that divide deeper and deeper. Regardless of what tactics were employed to end President Trump's America First policies, Trump's booming economy, our energy independence, and our reestablishment at the front and center of the world stage kept on winning, and his policies were lifting all Americans, facts that obviously angered Obama greatly. In 4 short years, President Trump had all but erased the anti-America strategy of Barack Hussein Obama and lifted America to grand heights domestically, economically, and in the arena of foreign policy. It was too much for Obama to bear. It had to come to an end, and neither he, who had invested his time and energy, nor Soros, who had invested a small fortune of his own money, could risk another 4 years of President Trump. They rigged the 2020 election. I know that doesn't sit well with social media or the mainstream media, but there is no way you can ever convince me that a man with severely diminished mental capabilities who campaigned from his basement bunker and made no sense when he rarely ventured outside, a man who could not draw more than a dozen people to a campaign rally and was constantly making derogatory comments to his own voters, could possibly have garnered 81 million votes without the fix being in. No way in hell. Diane, Obama got the 2 puppets he needed, Biden and Harris. One, too overwhelmed with dementia to know what's going on, and the other, too willing to do whatever it takes to advance her political career to give a damn who's pulling the strings. The Biden-Harris ticket became Obama's 3rd term, and the puppet master, boiling mad at having his 8 years of following Alinsky's rules go for naught, settled on a means to gain the ends he and his financier so badly desired.
Well, basically, in order to continue what he started, the fundamental transformation of America into a socialist, Marxist, communist country, take your pick, or meld all 3 together. Basically, that was what you call the code for the destruction of America.
Right.
But the cloven piven strategy was more direct, and I think maybe it would be good to tell people exactly what that strategy was.
Well, okay, look, in Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals, he had 13 rules, right? Like, yeah. I said, those were for that was for fighting little individual battles. But right. Cloward Piven, okay, that was to win the war and had only four strategic points. One, overload and break the welfare system. Two, have chaos ensue. Three, take control in the chaos. And four, implement socialism and communism through government force. Mm-hmm. The strategy by Cloward and Piven is only four steps, but don't be fooled. Biden isn't following those steps. He lacks the mental capability to follow the directions on a bottle of instant pudding. While even folks like Tucker Carlson and Sean Hannity and Laura Ingraham won't say it, perhaps because they're afraid of being labeled as conspiracy theorists, I'm not afraid, because it's as clear as glass. What we're seeing taking place in our country today is Obama's master plan. He's pulling Biden's puppet strings. And when the heat gets to be too much for that particular puppet, Biden will be 25th amendmented out and then replaced by Kamala Harris, whose blind political ambition will have her dancing like Obama's cackling marionette. Overload and break the welfare system, step one. COVID is just part of the excuse, as people are out of work because COVID mandates are forcing small businesses to close their doors. Add to that the fact that the welfare system is now paying people more not to work than they were when they were employed. And throw better than 2 million welfare-reliant illegal aliens per year into the system, and Cloward and Piven's first box is checked off. Number two, have chaos ensue. The defund the police movement, inspired and driven by the ilk of domestic terrorists like the BLM and Antifa, has violent crime rates soaring as police walk off the job. COVID mandates have society in an uproar, critical race theory in schools, leaving Americans and our allies behind in Afghanistan, the out-of-control border crisis, inflation, gas prices, and our growing disaster on the world stage is all coming together to create mass chaos. Box number two, checked off. Take control of the chaos. That's what we'll be told Kamala Harris is doing the day Obama pulls the plug on Joe Biden via the 25th Amendment. But the reality of that situation will be simply more of the same, only with new and more deceptive cover being provided by Obama's propagandists in the mainstream media. That will become box number three. And last but not least, Diane, implement socialism and communism through government force. If you don't believe this is Obama's endgame and the wet dream of every elected liberal Marxist, then you haven't been paying attention to the political landscape since LBJ was in office. And if you don't think we're better than halfway there right now, you're just blind to reality.
Well, you know, like you have said many times before, and I have said many times before, America's children are being indoctrinated. Kindergarten, all the way through college, even through graduate school. Okay, and these teachers that are doing the indoctrinating to today's children, they are actually schooled in this Cloward Piven plan. Aren't
yeah,
they? It sure sounds like it.
They really are. Our children are being indoctrinated from kindergarten through college by teachers and professors who have been steeped in socialism and communism since Cloward and Piven penned the strategy. We're being forced to inject ourselves with whatever the government says is good for us. Our God-given rights are being stripped away one by one. The last election was rigged in a way that would have made Hugo Chavez proud, and our mainstream media is the new Pravda. If you dissent, or if you take a stand, you will be labeled by the dictatorship and their propagandists as enemies of the state, and we're being told to spy on our neighbors and friends by the state. We have traitors in our high military positions. Our Department of Justice is prosecuting people for attending our chosen places of worship. The IRS and the FBI have both been weaponized against we the people, and our nation is over an oil barrel beholden to the whims of those who adhere to an ideology that would like to see us and our allies erased from the face of the earth. Finally, the strategy being played out right now before our eyes is the Cloward-Piven strategy. And while Biden has never shown signs of being a Cloward-Piven disciple, Obama certainly has. Biden isn't capable of leading a one-car parade, much less advancing the Cloward-Piven strategy to take down our country and fundamentally transform America into a third-world communist cesspool. But Obama is more than capable, and he has the financial backing of George Soros to bankroll his dream. Put bluntly, Biden isn't in control. He's just Obama's puppet, useful idiot, and the eventual scapegoat when the strings get attached to Kamala Harris. I stand by my assessment of this situation, and I don't think Leonardo da Vinci could have painted you a clearer picture of what's really going on.
I so agree. I'm like you. I've been saying since day one, even before day one of the Biden administration, back when he first announced he was running, you and I even did a show. We believe Obama is pulling this man's strings. He couldn't pull it off with Hillary. But back then, Biden still had a little bit of mental capacity.
Right.
I don't think even Obama has counted on the degree that his capacities are diminishing.
No, this is why Obama also said don't ever underestimate Joe Biden's ability to F things up.
Right.
Obama had a plan.
He was covering his own butt, if you will. But don't think for a minute that other people don't understand what's happening here, that this is Obama's third term in office, because it is.
It is.
The only thing that I'm not so sure of, okay, if Biden is 25th amendmented out, we still have all the things going on about the lawsuits. They are finding out more and more things in Arizona. In fact, today in Pennsylvania, thousands of uncounted military votes were found. 99% of those votes were for Trump. Now, what's going to happen if one of those cases the Supreme Court actually sides with? It makes it all the way up and it sides with. If Biden is out, let's say due to fraud, wouldn't Harris be out due to fraud as well?
Yeah, I believe so, but they're never going to overturn this election.
They're never going to do it. I think in the end they won't. No.
You know, and I hate to break that to people, because I know a lot of people are like, yeah, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's not going to happen. Okay.
No, in fact, I talk about that in my article next week.
Yeah, you've got a great piece coming up on that, by the way, folks. Look, here's the deal, okay? I mean, I could have gone on and on and on about this, right? Mm-hmm. One of Cloward and Piven's biggest fans, really, was Bill Ayers. And Obama started his political career in Bill Ayers' living room.
Yes.
Okay, so
have to remember back to Obama's beginning as an Illinois senator. People forget that, and they forget the characters he was involved with.
Right. And when you look at the Cloward-Piven strategy, and that's why I put it in here, okay, overload and break the welfare system. Well, that's going on in spades right now.
Exactly.
Have chaos ensue. We got chaos.
Oh, boy, do we.
Then you take control in the chaos. That's coming. That we're going to be told that that's what Kamala Harris is doing. She's taking control. And then you implement socialism and communism through government force. This is the Cloward-Piven strategy playing out. And Cloward-Piven's strategy, Cloward-Piven themselves, Obama's a huge fan. He's a huge fan.
Yes. But you know what? Over the years, that strategy, the Cloward-Piven strategy, has sort of been played down. And the Alinsky strategy has been pushed because it's easier to understand than the...
Right.
It's more... For most people, it's easy to understand 8 steps spread out than 4 steps highly condensed but extremely dangerous.
Right, but if you look, you can see in Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals and those 13 rules, you can see the things that Obama was doing when he was in office. Okay? You know, I mean...
Yeah.
You know... Whenever possible, go outside the expertise of the enemy, all this kind of stuff, right? I mean, you can go down, you can assign different things, you know, whether it was the BLM, whatever the case might be. You can look at these things where Obama was using Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals to win individual battles. The problem was, under the microscope, as I say in the commentary, under the microscope, he couldn't take the drastic steps he needed to take. Now,
correct,
he's not under the microscope, and those drastic steps are Cloward and Piven.
Right. Now he sort of stays in the shadows, but we know he's there.
Right. Overload and break the welfare system, have chaos ensue, take control of the chaos, and implement socialism and communism through government force. Those are the steps that Obama wanted to take desperately during his 8 years, but he knew he couldn't do it under the microscope. He had to set it up. He was going to do it if Hillary had won, but now
right,
he is doing it with Joe Biden and Kamala Harris being his puppets.
It's very bad. And I think many on our side understand how bad it is, and yet nobody's doing anything about it.
I know. It's frustrating as hell.
It's very, very frustrating.
You know, it is what it is. Look, the commentary's under the title Biden, Obama's Puppet and Useful Idiot. You can find it at thenationalpatriot.com. You can also find it at rspradio1.com. Grab the link, get it shared, get it out there so people understand they can see it in black and white what's really going on. Okay? And you can see the blueprints for it. I've got them right here in the commentary. Got it all spelled out for you. Share the article around. Look, if you go to rspradio1.com, you can get my commentary link, you can get Diane's op-ed link, all in one fell swoop. It's very simple. Then share. Yeah, that's what it comes down to. And we hope you do that. Next week, Diane, you just mentioned it. Tell the folks again what you're getting into next week.
Basically, I'm trying to remember the name of it right now.
Well, just the basis.
I can't. The basic is, you know, if Obama was to be 25th amendmented out, we would get Kamala Harris. But if the election was proven to be fraud, she would go down with Biden.
Right.
And that would leave even a worst case scenario because Nancy Pelosi is next in line. But I go into a lot of constitutional intricacies of all this. It's not quite what people think.
It's not quite as cut and dry as people like to think.
Exactly.
You know, so tune in for that. I am going after an abject idiot next week who thinks that men can get pregnant.
Oh, dear God. Yeah.
Okay. So it's going to be a very interesting show next Tuesday night.
Mm-hmm.
Tune in. You don't want to miss it.
Interesting.
You don't want to miss it. But Diane, with that, we have made it to the end of tonight's show.
Yes, we have. And with that, I'll say nighty-night, guys.
Good night, everybody. Have a great rest of the week. We'll catch up with you on Friday.